The secret place of the saints. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. I'm sure most of you all know where that scripture comes from, right? Psalms 91, of course. Like a mother hen who senses danger and gathers her chicks under her wings to keep them safe, so too our loving Heavenly Father gathers the consecrated under the wings of His divine protection, so nothing will harm the new creature that He protects. Excuse me. It says in the Bible, no evil will befall thee. That is, as a new creature. My mom, Sister Hazel McClellan, used to say that each one of those heavenly feathers, so to speak, is a promise that God will shelter you with in faith, with all the exceeding great and precious promises that are yours to claim in the name of your Lord and Master, Christ Jesus. Do you feel special? You should. But none of us feel worthy, do we? None of us. Today, more than ever, with the winds of uncertainty, fear, and doubt in the hearts of humanity, we need to claim those promises and hang on tightly to them. We need to stay under the feathers of God's exceeding great and precious promises. Our Master's words in Luke 12:3, fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We know we are living in a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. You can feel it, can't you? It's all around you. The Russian-Ukraine war has triggered a series of events that are and will soon reveal even more concerns about the instability in the world. And even the shelves of your local supermarkets, right? Have you noticed that already? The monetary system is in what we believe an economic reset of our banking system, and how people's money will be controlled and monitored by the government is something to be concerned about. Supply chain shortages, double-digit inflation, an impending recession, and more uncertainty in the former securities of your everyday lives are bringing much fear in this present world, and it's moving faster and faster. This is the time we're living in, brethren. Luke 21:26. It tells us that we're in a time when men's hearts are failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but that's where I think we are. People don't really understand what's going on. They don't understand that the stage is being set for the new world order. The plowman of trouble is about to overtake the reaper. And the bulldozer of that which has been Satan's institutions is crumbling into powder, soon to be blown away by a fierce whirlwind. A whirlwind that will take up the antitypical Elijah class up into glory. Put on the seatbelt of God's promises, brethren, for God will never leave you. He'll never leave you. Why? Because you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. With the tearing down process going on by Earth's incoming King, Christ Jesus, who is shedding light or knowledge on every injustice today, excuse me. People have been stirred up to their rights and liberties like never before, and we believe the Jubilee cry is going up all around the whole world, causing a lot of commotion, just the way the pastor said that would happen in the second volume. But our confused world has an out-of-order sign put on it, doesn't it? At least it should have, the way it's going. That our returned Lord placed there some time ago. And nobody can keep that ship of state from rocking back and forth. Nobody. It's like a drunkard. It's teetering to its final fall. Isaiah 24:20. The earth reels to and fro like a drunkard, and it totters like a shack. For its transgression is heavy upon it, and it will fall, never to rise again. That's all of society. Isaiah 24:20. But the Lord reassures us to not fear men's fear. Why? Because again, we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, the secret place of the saints. Psalms 91. He reassures us that whatever happens, just like all Israel, all things will work together for good because we love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you truly believe God when he gives you a purpose? I'm sure you do. When he gives you a promise, rather, we all believe it because God said it. Remember when the apostles were on the Sea of Gennesaret on a ship? With Jesus sleeping in the back of the ship? Remember that? Remember how the storm suddenly blew in and it was so bad? The apostles thought they were surely going to perish. What did Jesus do? You know, he stood up, held his hands out, and he rebuked the turbulent sea. Your heart will fail you unless you listen for his words, O thou of little faith, and redirect your energies to your life of faith and trust. Recall and internalize all the promises that you've memorized over the years to sustain you through the days ahead. Memorize as many promises as you can and keep them firmly embedded in your heart, like all things work together for good. Do not see how powerful the storm is, but rather see how powerful your God is. Your heart may fail you at times and hear Jesus' words to you, O thou of little faith. Then claim Psalms 46, 2-6. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her and shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Or in the Leser translation, at the dawning of her morning. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. Do you see the earth and society melting? The core of society is the family unit. The church's mourning is different than the world's mourning. Our mourning has already begun. Some of us can see the foregleams of the new millennial day. No, it's not the peaceable kingdom yet, but I believe we are in the first stages of that day mentioned in 2 Peter 3, 8-10. But the day of the Lord will come, how? As a thief in the night. And in a few verses before that, it told you what a day was, right? In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Are you feeling the heat yet, brethren? Is this day a peaceable day? Revelation 11:15-18. Take a look at that. And 14:14, Revelation 14:14, which tells me the nations will be angry when this overlapping millennial day comes, and Christ, our King, comes with a sickle in his hand and a crown on his head. Matthew 13:41. That's the way I read the scriptures. The present environment of the saints is a world of turmoil and is very stressful. Who could deny that we are living in the day that men's hearts are, as it says in Luke 21:26, failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth? People are feeling more and more depressed and without any real hope for a better world. Their political leaders are letting them down one by one. And their god of science isn't going to save them either. When you walk the streets and shopping centers, I don't see many smiles anymore. Just face masks and gloomy faces. Listen to the prophetic words of Joel 2. Joel 2, verse 6. Before their face, the people shall be much pain. All faces shall gather blackness. But what about our faces, brethren? Are we rising above the turmoil and putting our confidence in God's promises? We know how this all ends, don't we? In fact, we're on the winning team, God's team, the saints of the Most High. Don't ever let the present distress of the world rob you of the peace and joy of knowing what lies ahead, knowing the silver lining in the dark clouds, knowing that the peaceable kingdom comes after Armageddon, and nothing will ever harm your new creature through whatever lies ahead. Just throw your anchor down in the restless waves of mankind's perplexities and let it rest secure in the exceeding great and precious promises that Jehovah God has given us. But how do we know this? We know this in proportion to having a clear knowledge and belief of present truth, seeing the incredible logic, love, and purpose in God's plan, and having full faith in our knowledge of God's times and seasons that we have been given by our returned Lord, Christ Jesus. The amount of effort we make to study this message and understand where we are in the prophetic picture, what to expect, and equip ourselves with the whole armor of God will make all the difference in who will stand unwavering in faith in this evil and rather scary times in which we live. It tells us in Psalms 91, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And here is the victory, even your faith. God puts a premium on our faith, brethren. He stretches our faith for the trials ahead by the trials of the present and past. Have you ever felt God stretching you? Has it made you stronger in your faith? Notice in Psalms 91, it says, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Did you catch that? The truth will be a shield of faith in these troublous times. The truth. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now listen now. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His truth. Who is this fowler that has a snare, and what is the noise and pestilence? Can you guess, or perhaps you already know, don't you? It's the great trapper. The fowler is the great adversary, and his snare is a symbol of his tools and deceptions that entrap people. Sometimes even entraps the Lord's saints or those associated with him, like their children, their teenagers, etc., with erroneous and deceptions of untruths or theories they get in school, like the evolution theory, which is taught like it's a matter of fact and can destroy true faith in God. It's a theory that totally denies the foundation doctrine of the ransom, which is the primary basis of all of our beliefs. And the noisome pestilence, what might that be? The word pestilence in the Hebrew has the idea of destroying, like a plague. I suggest that it is the moral and spiritual stumbling stones of unbelief, higher criticism, infidelity, and spiritual demonic penetration of our cultural media. We are continually bombarded by the seductive attractions of human lusts by the marketing media campaigns of our day. These moral pestilences that stimulate fleshly lusts and immediate gratification of our fallen human nature, as Lot must have been vexed in Sodom and Gomorrah. But we as children of God walk in the light of truth and righteousness. We as new creatures should fight the good fight of faith and study against the spiritual stumbling stones of error and sophistry. Our passionate love for God, truth, and righteousness outlines deferred gratifications that go way beyond the superficial pleasures of humanity. So we endure the day when men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, because we strive to be the children of the light and not of darkness or the moral decay that is plaguing humanity today. We try to be careful with what we watch on television, careful what we read and look at on the internet, and we watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. We ask God to not abandon us into temptation, right? So we certainly should be careful not to put ourselves there in the first place, right? Abandon me not into temptation where I have put myself. That doesn't make sense. This is in part how we can dwell in the secret place of the Most High, the secret place of the saints, and to follow holiness without which no one can see the Lord. Let's read this important scripture in Hebrews 12:14. I can still see Brother Gene Burns getting up on the balls of his feet reading this. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Well, let me ask you, how many here want to see the Lord? Everybody, right? You have to admit that that would be pretty incredible to actually see God. What does this scripture state that we must do to accomplish that, brethren? To what? Follow holiness. The idea of sanctification or purification, being set apart from the worldly attitudes, the dispositions, and earthly lusts, understanding God's expectations and then compliance with them to the very best of your and my abilities, to perfect our intentions of following holiness should be part of our daily goals. And if you wish to have a vibrant consecration, I suggest that you have some daily goals. What shall I render unto the Lord today for all of his benefits to me? Then answer the question, right? What shall I render? Work on or sacrifice, perhaps. I think I'll sacrifice more time to give the Lord in the study of his word and maybe less TV. So in Psalms and in our discourse title, we mentioned the secret place of the Most High. What do you think that secret place is? I suggest that it is a place of intimate communion and fellowship with God, our Heavenly Father, a very special place that only the consecrated can fully claim. Only the consecrated can fully cherish with a deep sense of gratitude. And who here doesn't feel incredibly blessed in their lives when they really think about it, right? It's a place where we can best see in the Holy of the Tabernacle illustration. Remember, there we have a table of showbread where we are privileged to commune or consume rather the food from those 66 books of the Bible represented in the two stacks of six. It's a place where we have the light of the golden candlestick that illuminates our scriptural understanding by the influencing power of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of reading and understanding our Father's word, we not only see God's character more clearly, love him more dearly, but then can offer up intimate prayers of sonship from the golden incense altar. The sweet smelling perfume of our prayers rises up to go into the Most Holy, where God is represented in part by the emanating light of the Shekinah glory. And through that knowledge, that illumination and prayers, you and I can claim in faith, in the justifying merit of our Lord Jesus, all the exceeding great and precious promises. They're yours, brethren. Promises, like Brother Ed had just recently mentioned this morning. Promises like 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. What an incredible honor and privilege to have God's attention given to us, carefully listening to every word and sentiment of our hearts. Promises which we all love, like once again in Hebrews 13:5, my wife's favorite, which you're all familiar with, and many of you cite on comfort cards, I know, to the sick and bereaved. Namely, and we're going to read it from the Weymouth, so listen carefully again. I will never, never let go your hand. I will never, never forsake you. Nice rendering, isn't it? That's from the Weymouth. Like we sing in our hymns, he holds us by his own right hand and will not let us go. God holds your hand, brethren, by his promises. Have you ever felt the rivers of your trials would overtake you? Reach out and grab God's hand. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall thy flame kindle upon thee. Isaiah 43:2. I know our dear Sister Janine Davis in Columbus, that was her favorite. So brethren, reach out and grab the hand of God. These exceeding great and precious promises and many more, each like a feather on the mother eagle, will not only give us comfort, security, and peace in stressful moments, but will transport us like a vehicle to the prize of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. Have you noticed this before? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Notice the words in this context where it says by these. In other words, it's by claiming these promises as consecrated individuals, by believing and having full confidence in these promises, in God's providential care and divine word of promise, that we will be transported to our heavenly home. Isn't that beautiful? Learn, trust, claim, and memorize as many of these promises as you can, dear friends. They will shield you from the darts of the adversary, especially, I believe, in the days ahead. They will transport you to your heavenly destination. Yes, the benefits of claiming these promises are not only comfort, security, and peace, but joy. Joy, like the Apostle James points out in the first chapter, to count it all what? To count it all joy, not like the world does, but when you fall into various temptations or trials. That's a little different definition of joy for many, isn't it, right? Indeed, we redefine one meaning of joy here. What God is looking for in us, dear brother, now again, listen, is a simple childlike trust. Remember Jesus said, unless you were like one of these little children? A simple childlike trust. Did you ever hear a child ask its parent, are we going to have something to eat for the rest of the week, mommy? Or do they simply trust their parents that the food will be there when needed? Does a small child doubt you when you tell them that you love them? Or do they simply trust you to watch over their every need, to keep them healthy, keep them secure, and provide for them the necessities of life? Yes, dear friends, when God gives us a scriptural promise, you can take it to the bank and cash it. When you give him a prayer, you never get a leave a message. Psalms 91, verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Why? Because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. This is a very special relationship that God has allowed you to have. Psalms 91:15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. He shall give his angels charge over thee. How does that make you feel, brethren? He's given his angels charge over you. Pretty special, doesn't it? I'm sure you never take this relationship for granted. Hebrews 6:1 tells us that these angels are ministering to the saints also, right? Again, listen carefully. Brother, nothing can happen to you or I, dear brethren, unless the Lord permits it. Do you understand that? Nothing can happen to you unless the Lord permits it. These powerful ministering angels, I believe, have been given charge over us to make sure of that. Whatever happens to us must be by the Lord's direction and approval. Recall the scene where Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate just before his crucifixion. Jesus was told by Pontius Pilate that he had power to release Jesus and power to crucify him. John 19:10. And what did Jesus say? Remember, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Whatever happened must pass God's approval and permission first. And it's the same with us, his body members. Our faith becomes the grave of our worry. A new creature can be concerned, but it should never worry. Put away that worry, brethren. Bury it. Bury it in faith in those promises. Dear friends, beloved children of God, we know not what awaits us in the near future stages of events. I don't know about you, but I think we're very near to the end. The world ought to have a sign hung on it, like we said, out of order. What do you think? It's wobbling around like a top that's ready to topple over. Thank goodness we know where it's going to land. And do not fear as do others. We see the nations melting under the heat of public judgments and perplexed governmental officials trying to desperately patch things up like Humpty Dumpty and fix the problems caused from such things as a global pandemic and its economic impact. And we see the restless masses of the C-class of humanity roaring, clamoring for their rights, and pulling down military statues of the past, setting fire in police precincts and threatening the stability of the present order. We see what happened in January 6th, even at the Capitol building. Remember that? How could you forget? Do you feel the tremors under your feet, brethren? What's going on? It's time. It's time for setting up of God's kingdom by Earth's new king. The symbolic Earth society and the core of it, the family unit as we've known it for thousands of years, is being altered. Family structure that has been generally in place for thousands of years is being redefined in ways that we could never have imagined back in the 1950s. The elements or rules of society are being broken down in the walls and caves of financial security are on shifting sands. To me, I definitely have seen a shaking of the nations and the revolutions going on, with over 30 wars going on in the past century. The historical records back me up on this. But do not fear. God is with us. He is our refuge, our rock, and our high tower, through all this trouble. Let's look again at Psalms 46. 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Mountains are very symbolic of kingdoms, aren't they? Civil powers in the symbolic sea is the lawless, ungovernable masses of humanity. Society, symbolic earth, is being removed as we know it. Some of us have lived long enough to see a dramatic difference from the 1940s and 1950s, haven't we? Psalms 46:3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Did you know that the total number of deaths caused by war during the 20th century has been estimated by 187 million? That's 187 with six zeros after it. That's how many people have died in this past century from war. It's an unprecedented century and an unprecedented trouble. Who can deny this? But Psalms 46 passage goes on. There is a river. What's that river? The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The truth will be the new creation's anchor, brethren. The truth is everything to live for and everything to die for, like Brother Gene Burns used to say to us. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her, the church class. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early, or as in the New American Standard Bible, when her morning dawns, her morning. That's when the rest of the world is still sleeping. Her morning began in 1878. Take a look at Volume 3, pages 230 to 231. Volume 3, pages 230 to 231, and see if that's not the way you would read it. As well as Luke 24:1. Maybe you haven't considered this. Jesus was raised up not just in the morning, not early in the morning, but very early in the morning. You think there was a reason for the gospel stating it that way? So too the church. So too the church. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. I suggest, in other words, organized society disintegrated, earth melted. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. But soon, I believe, dear friends, the tearing down process will be over. The plowman will overtake the reaper, Christ Jesus, we know, is the reaper. And the kingdom will be fully set up when there'll be no more wars, no weapons of human destruction like we see going on in the Ukraine by the Russian armies. Believe me when I say God will have everyone's attention when he basically says to the various agencies, sit down, be quiet, and know that I am God. Psalms 46, 8 to 10. Take a look at that and read its entirety. Psalms 46, 8 to 10. Not exactly in those words, but close. Now, you're welcome to believe what you want to believe about what's ahead, brother. Prophecy is a darkly shaded glass through which we can only see so much, right? We have to make allowances in the prophetic puzzle for those of us who hold various views on what is going to happen next. But I believe that many of us identify our present vantage point of time as seeing that we might be in the time period of the sixth plague of Revelation 16. Time will tell. However, if we are, and I underscore if, I believe we are about to see some pretty interesting events take place on the world scene. We won't have time to get into all of that now. This is not a talk on the plagues, but suffice it to say that I believe there will be some rough waters ahead for us to navigate through. But our Lord Jesus is at the helm, isn't he? I believe there's a number of scriptures and citations from Pastor Russell's writings to warrant this perception. We will need to have a strong faith and be anchored within the veil with all the exceeding great and precious promises that the Lord has stretched our faith with over these many years of our consecrated walk to navigate the experiences that I believe lie just ahead. This was actually one of the main goals of this discourse, to encourage you that even though I believe great trouble lies ahead, to encourage you to learn and claim all the promises that God has given us to carry out our boat, rather, across that stormy sea of Galilee, so to speak. Remember, I think Brother Tim had said earlier that there's over 200 of them, right, Brother Tim? Recall once again the query to our master. Carest thou not that we perish? When that ship was being tossed to and fro from the waters below. And what did our beloved master reply? How will he feel about, or I should say, how will you feel about his reply to you or to me? Let's take a closer look at that in Matthew 8:24 from the NIV. Some of you might look at that as a new internal version now, I'm not sure. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Imagine. The disciples went and woke him and said, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Perhaps some will feel that way in the days ahead if they haven't taken the time to fill their spiritual vessels with a spirit of consecration and to learn and confidently rely on the Lord's precious promises that have been given to them and perhaps end up in a foolish virgin class if they're not careful. Remember that? You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Jesus said. He then did something extremely miraculous. He got up and rebuked the winds and the waves. Picture that. And then it was completely calm. I imagine the winds and the waves almost immediately subsided. Imagine seeing that. Imagine being there. What power was this that controlled such energies of nature? Unbelievable power to harness the energies of nature itself. Matthew 8:27. The men were amazed and asked, incredible miracle. What kind of man is this? In Matthew 8:27. Even the winds and the waves obey him. That man was our master, our bridegroom to be, brethren, Christ Jesus, the very same one that shares your yoke with you, that burden that you pull every day. He shares that yoke, that very same one, each day of your consecrated life. Yes, dear friends, but our God and his Son are much greater than the waves roaring around us. And this same mighty God is your Heavenly Father, who you remember numbers the very hairs of your head. That's his amazing awareness of detail in every aspect of your life. Every aspect. Incredible, right? Remember also that he will keep in perfect peace who? Whose mind is stayed on him because they trust him. Isaiah 26:3, one of my favorites. That wherever or whatever may befall us, it is going to work out together for good, isn't it? The good of the new creature, because we love God and we're called according to his purpose. All of our wants may not be supplied, but all of our needs will be. The scriptures promise that our bread and water will be sure, do they not? Isaiah 33:16. Although I believe it wouldn't hurt to have a little long storage food put aside to get you through some of the days that lie ahead. We may see some starvation out there in the very near future. I don't think people realize the impact of this Ukraine-Russian conflict and that one-third of the grains and so forth were provided by these areas. So it wouldn't hurt to have a little long storage food, brethren. Remember how Joseph did that in Egypt? You know, wearing a seatbelt in your car doesn't mean you don't have faith in God. As you all know from your studies in the volumes, Elijah the prophet represented the church class, right? And at the end of his course, how did he leave? Do you remember? How did Elijah go up? Some might say, in a fiery chariot, Brother Larry. And others may say, in a whirlwind. Notice the scriptural sequence in 2 Kings 2:11. 2 Kings 2:11. First, the fiery chariot experience separates Elijah from Elisha. Next, Elijah is taken up in a whirlwind. And you might like to check out what these winds might be in reprint 48:22. It's a short article. Reprint 48:22. That's 48:22. Some of us might believe that the church will have a fiery trial of persecution from a church-state entity in the future, separating the Elijah class from the Elisha class. And some of you may believe that the church will end their course in a sea of anarchy and the lawless masses of mankind. I wouldn't be too dogmatic either way. Either way is a possibility the way I look at it. But whatever may happen in the future, please never forget, dear brethren, that you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, the secret place of the saints. Remember always that the Lord is the rock of your refuge. And he has powerful angels that would not let anything happen to you that wasn't in the best interest of your new creature and your eternal welfare. These angels will bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your feet against a stone. If you have made the Lord, the Most High, your habitation and striven to study to show yourself approved, if you've tried your best to keep your robes unspotted from the earthly entanglements, develop Christ-likeness, and have not been overcharged with the cares and loves of this present world, then, I believe, as a saint of God's elect, you will not be deceived. For I believe the scripture in Matthew 24:24 states and tells us that everybody except the very elect will not be deceived by the great signs and wonders. That includes the great company, doesn't it? Everybody but the elect. They are not the very elect, are they? Sounds like a pretty big deception may lie just ahead. How big of a deception do you think that the great adversary could come up with? Pretty big, right? Don't be surprised. In fact, there's a similarity between this passage and Revelation 16:13-14, where it talks about the six plague events. Take a look at it. Both of these scriptures use the same Greek word, semion, for sign, which could mean, look it on your Strongs if you're using your computer, it could mean a supernatural event. Interesting, right? Check me out on that. I'll let you figure out who these entities might be. I think it would be worth some investigation. Better yet, take a few minutes and read again, if you haven't read it recently, the 1916 foreword to the fourth volume. I think that's an important foreword that he gave us, for us. Very important. I would suggest to expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected and be prepared for whatever the Lord may allow. But know your scriptures, brother, and keep your faith strong and your consecrations vibrant. Nevertheless, remember that there shall no evil befall thee, neither any plague come nigh thy dwelling. You and I are in the hands of the Almighty God. The Lord preserveth all that love him. Psalms 145:20. Our names, brethren, are inscribed in the palms of his hand. That's incredible. For those saints who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you know you are under divine supervision. The Lord has stretched and developed your faith in many trials and difficulties of your consecrated life. He's made you more and more spiritually resistant and reliant on him and all of his exceeding great and precious promises. And as Psalms 91:14 assures us, because he has set his love upon you, Therefore, he will deliver you. He will set you on high, perhaps really high, like with the divine nature, right? And why? It says, because you have known his name. And when you graduate, you will have a new name. Revelation 2:17. Psalms 91:15 promises that if you call upon God, he will answer you and that he will be with you in trouble. And in some way, if only by faith, transcending the trouble, deliver you and honor you and give you long life. Tell me, brethren, how long is eternal life? Immortality. How long? Yes, dear friends, you dwell in the secret place of the saints, where God holds you securely in the palm of his loving hand. Reprint 3149 says it best, and I'll let you take and read that for yourself. Dear friends, whatever experiences lie ahead for the church, who all dwell in the secret place of the Most High, don't ever forget that God's ministering angels are with you. You cannot see them, but they are there, protecting you from anything that would not have the approval of Jehovah God. So I want to finish this discourse with a story from 2 Kings that most all of you know. It's a story of when the king of Syria sent a great host of men, chariots and horses, to Dothan to take Elisha the prophet, who was with a young man that was full of fear when he saw this great host of soldiers. Recall that Elisha prayed to Jehovah to open the young man's eyes to actually see the ministering angels. Now pretend that you are there with them in that moment. Close your eyes and imagine. 2 Kings 6:15. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" This reminds me of the words of the apostle on the stormy sea. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Recall that situation. So back to 2 Kings 6. So he, Elisha, answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." You can just imagine the young man looking around as if to say, "But I don't see anybody with us." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Now, use your imagination and visualize this, brethren. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Wouldn't your mouth drop? Wouldn't that be breathtaking to see? Brethren, if you know and believe that you are on the winning team of the new order of Christ's kingdom, the saints of the Most High, you will not fear as others do. You see, but by the eye of faith, because we all walk by faith. Confidence in the Lord is part of our test. The exceeding great and precious promises of Jehovah is how God will hold your right hand and your heart through all the spasms of the earth shaking and disarray of perplexity that we see going on about us. Like Elisha and the young man saw the actual angels round about on the mountains. And like God promised Israel, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire and the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. And you will not be burned, nor will the flame kindle upon you. And the walls of fear in the Red Sea became water walls of divine protection from the fear that threatened on the other side to those that trusted. Brother, remember when the three were in the fiery furnace and there was one there beside them? Brother, I think that was our return Lord with us. He's there with us with all the power of the universe, with a Father backing him, never to leave us nor forsake us through whatever transpires, even a fiery furnace. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And all things will work together for good, for our highest spiritual welfare. And like Jesus said to Pilate, you would have no power over me unless it were given you. Like the hymn, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. Brethren, never, ever forget that you dwell in the secret place of the saints. Grace be with you. Amen.